Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, coming to you live from Florissant, Missouri. And good Thursday to you. I'm so glad that you've joined me on the program today. Today, I want to continue focusing in on my very important teaching series on the Ten Commandments, which I have subtitled The Law of Perfect Freedom. And so often when we hear about commands, we think of bondage, we think of lack of freedom. But as we have been learning through the teaching of this series, this is God's perfect, holy law, which leads to fruitful, free, and abundant living. We have been studying the Ten Commandments in depth, and I began this series about 3 weeks ago. And I want to just recap what we've been learning. We've learned that as God brought his people out of the bondage of Egypt and into the promised land, he met with them on Mount Sinai and delivered the 10 words, or the 10 commandments. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. We learned how important this commandment is to reveal the true living God, and that idols were a substitute, an affront to him. And in this commandment, he revealed his supremacy as the true God. And we also learned that in our worship of this true God, we are not to try to make visual representations of him, not to make for ourselves a carved image or a likeness. And we learned from that very important commandment how worship is important to God, and how he has prescribed the way we are to worship him in spirit and truth, because he is spirit. We learned last time that his name is very important to him. We are not to take his name in vain, in an empty, abstract way. God says he will not hold the person guiltless who takes his name in vain. And we learned what that really comes down to. As Christians, we are marked and carry the name of God, and we are to do so in an honorable way as a witness of Jesus Christ, and not to live a lifestyle contrary to what we have invested in carrying his holy name. Now this week we enter into one of the biggest controversial of all of the Ten Commandments. It's very clear to me that nine of these Ten Commandments for sure are eternal. They are always to be recognized. They are always to be obeyed. But this one is a tough one for many, many people. We're going to learn today that this is a controversial one, but I'm going to do my best to explain it. God says in commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it you should not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. An entire religious movement has been spawned, namely the Seventh-day Adventists, under the teachings of Ellen G. White, and they laud themselves as the true remnant church because they're the only church that holds this commandment sacredly and seriously. And they believe that the Roman Catholic Church changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. And early Adventist teaching, if not yet today, teach that if you worship on any other day than Saturday, you have taken the mark of the beast. They have created an entire movement based on keeping God's commandments, namely this one. But what I have explained to us in the earlier days was that the law of God cannot be kept for salvation and justification. The law was a means to reveal our sinfulness, to show our inadequacy, our unrighteousness. And it points us to a Savior, Jesus. Therefore, the law was a schoolmaster, as Paul writes in Galatians, pointing to Christ. When Christ is revealed and when Christ has come and has laid down his life as our sinless sacrifice, we are not bound by the law. The law leads us to a need for a Savior, and I've explained that in the past. So today we come to this commandment. Now, let's lay some basic groundwork. All of us understand as Christians that based on the resurrection of Christ, the Lord's Day, Sunday, the first day of the week, was recognized as the day that all Christians worship together. It's not anything to do with having a day changed by the church. Actually, it was God himself that changed it. The Saturday worship was a prelude to Jesus, and I'll explain. And based on the resurrection, the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of Christ, the first day of the week, Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, is the day of worship that God himself instituted and changed. But what about this commandment? We know very clearly that God has called us to work. We are to labor 6 days, as the Bible says, and that special day of physical and spiritual rest, Christians are called aside to cease from that kind of physical labor and focus in worship on their Lord. And that one day of coming together as an assembly, we understand that. But I want to explain to you something about the Sabbath day that I think you need to understand that cuts through all of this controversy and gets to the heart of the matter. And what I want to share with you today is that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And I will explain what that means. This whole controversy about commandment keeping has created legalism and false religion. And you will notice throughout the teachings in the Gospels, Jesus always reemphasized the true nature of the Sabbath. The key to understanding how Jesus is our Sabbath rest is the Hebrew word sabbat, which means to rest, to stop, or cease from work. Now, as we've learned, the origin of the Sabbath goes back to creation. After creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days, God, quote-unquote, rested on the seventh day from all of his work, which he had made. Now, that doesn't mean God was tired or needed a break. We know that God is omnipotent, all-powerful. He has all of the power in the universe. He never tires. So what does it mean that God rested on the seventh day? Simply that he stopped what he was doing. He ceased from his labors. He was finished. And this is important in understanding the establishment of the Sabbath day and the role of Christ as our Sabbath rest. Now, God used the example of his resting on the seventh day of creation to establish the principle of the Sabbath day rest for his people. We learned that in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Now, this was not just a physical rest, but a cessation from laboring. Whatever work the children of Israel were engaged in was to stop for a full day each week. So the Sabbath day was established so the people could rest from their labors, only to begin again after that one day of full rest. Now, what's important we need to understand right away about keep the Sabbath day is this. The various elements of the Sabbath symbolized the coming of the Messiah, who would provide a permanent rest for his people. Once again, the example of resting for our labors comes into play. With the establishment of the Old Testament law, the Jews were constantly laboring to make themselves acceptable to God. Their labors included trying to obey a myriad of do's and don'ts of the ceremonial law, the temple law, the civil law. Of course, they couldn't possibly keep all of those laws. So God provided an array of sin offerings and sacrifice so that his people could come to him for forgiveness and restore fellowship with him. But only temporarily. This is very important. Just as they began their physical labors after a one-day rest, so too they had to continue to offer sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 tells us that the law can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. But again, these sacrifices were offered in anticipation of the ultimate sacrifice of Christ on the cross, who after one sacrifice, offered one sacrifice for sins forever. After that, he sat down on the right of God. There's a rest. Just as he rested after performing the ultimate sacrifice, he sat down and rested, ceased from his labor of atonement because there was nothing more to be done. Because of what Jesus did, we no longer have to labor in law-keeping in order to be justified in the sight of God. Jesus was sent so that we might rest in God and everything that he has provided. Another element of the Sabbath day rest, which God instituted as a foreshadowing of our complete rest in Christ, is that he blessed it, he sanctified it, and made it holy. Here again, we see the symbol of Christ as our Sabbath rest. He's the holy, perfect Son of God who sanctifies and makes holy all who believe in him. God sanctified, that is, set apart Christ, just as he sanctified or set apart the Sabbath day and sent him into the world to be our sacrifice for sin. In Jesus, we find complete rest from the labors of our self-effort. Why? Because he alone is holy and righteous. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We can now cease from our spiritual labors and rest in him, not just one day a week, but always. Jesus can be our Sabbath rest, in part because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. As God incarnate, he decides the true meaning of the Sabbath because he created it. And he is our Sabbath rest in the flesh. When the Pharisees criticized him for healing on the Sabbath, Jesus reminded them even they, as sinful as they were, would not hesitate to pull a sheep out of a pit on the Sabbath. Because he came to seek and save his sheep who would hear his voice and enter into the Sabbath rest he provided by paying for their sins, he could break the Sabbath rules. He told the Pharisees that people are more important than sheep, and the salvation he would provide was more important than rules. By saying, and Jesus said this, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus was again restating the principle that the Sabbath rest was instituted to relieve man of his labors. We no longer rest for only one day, but we rest forever, ceasing our labor to obtain God's favor. Jesus is our rest from works now, just as he is the door to heaven, where we will rest in him forever. Now, one of the most important scriptures on our teaching today, Hebrews 4, is the definitive passage of Jesus as our Sabbath rest. The writer to Hebrews exhorts his listeners, his readers, to enter in to the Sabbath rest which is provided by Christ. He spends three chapters telling them that Jesus is superior to the angels and that he is our apostle and high priest. He pleads with them to not harden their hearts against him, as their fathers hardened their hearts against the Lord in the wilderness. Now, because of their unbelief, God denied that generation access to the Holy Land, saying, "You shall not enter into my rest," Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11. In the same way, the writer to the Hebrews begs his readers not to make the same mistake by rejecting God's Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ. Quote, "There remains, then, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience." Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Here's the important key in all of this. There is no other Sabbath rest besides Jesus. Jesus alone satisfies the requirements of the law, and he provides the sacrifice that atones for sin. This is very important. We cannot satisfy the law. We cannot satisfy the requirements of the law in our human striving. It's impossible. Only Jesus alone perfectly lived the law without sin. He perfectly satisfies all the requirements of the law. He becomes our sinless sacrifice so that we can rest in him. He is God's plans for us to cease from the labor of our own works. We dare not reject this one and only way of salvation. God's reaction to those who choose to reject his plan is seen in Numbers 15. Quote, "A man was found gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, in spite of God's plain commandment to cease from all labor on the Sabbath. This transgression was a known and willful sin, done with unblushing boldness in broad daylight, in open defiance of divine authority. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'This man will die. The whole assembly must stone him outside the camp.'" And in the same way, it will be to all who reject God's provision for our Sabbath rest in Christ. This is very important. We have seen that remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy was a directive to Israel under the old economy, but it is a foreshadow of our Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ. Yes, we have a day set aside for worship on Sunday, but we need to recognize the intent of this commandment. It is finding our hope in Sabbath rest in Christ alone. Let me point out to you, Christ has released us from the Sabbath. His finished work on the cross abolished the entire Mosaic law of ordinances, which includes the Sabbath commandment. Only 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament. The reason for this is significant. The 4th commandment was part of the Jewish law system, which Paul calls the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. The moral standards and the 9 other commandments regarding worshiping other gods and idols, taking God's name in vain, dishonoring parents, murdering, committing adultery, stealing, lying, and coveting remain in effect because they reflect God's very nature, and because of that, they're timeless. The expression of these moral standards in the form of the 10 commandments, we've learned, was not timeless. Paul clearly states in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, that Christ took this handwriting of requirements and nailed it to the cross. It's very important. Paul dealt with the situation in the book of Colossians about some Judaizers and Gnostics trying to put Christians back under the bondage of the law. He says very clearly, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, "And you who were dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in it." Very important. Listen carefully. "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is Christ." It belongs to Jesus. Paul says, Sabbath days, observance. Romans 14:5 says, "If you are convinced that one day is holy, then you have the right to hold to that. Do not impress or force others to believe that way. Therefore, don't let anyone," Paul says, "pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These," Paul says, "are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Do you see it? It's very clear. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. The requirements of the law, the legal codified system, was nailed to the cross. Don't let people defraud you of your worship, and don't let people judge you by telling you to observe a certain festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath. It's all been nailed to the cross because they, that is, the legal requirements, were shadows of Jesus, shadows of things to come. They are shadows and types of the Old Testament, but the substance is Christ. And so if you come today to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, he becomes your Sabbath rest. I hope today's teaching has enlightened you more about the background of this 4th commandment and the intent that God wants us to believe about it. That beautiful day of rest when we cease from physical labor is a day set aside to worship God. But we worship God really every day. Keep our focus on Jesus as the true fulfillment of that commandment, that he is our Sabbath rest. Then we will have joy unspeakable. We will have a delight on the Sabbath day, if you will, on our Sunday worship, because that's the intent of the 4th commandment. I hope this has helped you today. I hope this has strengthened your faith as a Christian. And next time we're going to look at commandment number 5. I want to leave us today with a great song of love and meaning from the Newsboys. Here is Amazing Love. I will see you next time, Monday, on the Cross in the Desert, and I'll continue my teaching series on the 10 commandments. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. The amazing worship music of the Newsboys and Amazing Love. And today on The Cross in the Desert, we've had a very rich and rewarding Bible study on the Ten Commandments. I hope that this teaching has enriched your understanding of the Fourth Commandment and maybe answered a lot of questions you might have had regarding this. But again, it comes down to relationship instead of religion. And I believe that Jesus being our Sabbath rest answers all of those questions for us about that Sabbath day. God bless you. I will see you very soon, Monday, on the next Cross in the Desert. Have yourself an incredible weekend.